What is this? What is this? Oh, man! I did it again! Will somebody please press start?
Hello and welcome to Grace Junkies. Tonight, we're going to be talking about denominationalism. On the phone tonight is Larry, myself, and our host, Brad McFadden. But before we kick things off, I'd like to share a vision. This vision was relayed to me by a friend. He said, I found myself on a beach. Along the beach, as far as I could see in either direction, were large rocks, and upon each rock was a person. Every person was yelling and trying to talk over the next person and trying to argue a point or to communicate something in what seemed to be a very angry manner. And to punctuate their points, every once in a while, a person would reach down to their rock, break off a piece, and throw it at one another. That scene dissolved, and he found himself back on the same beach, only this time, each person was actually carrying their rock together toward a central point, and as they arrived, they fit each rock together, and each rock fit perfectly until they had built a very huge, huge rock upon which all of them stood at one time. I asked him what the meaning of these visions were. He says, I believe the visions to be this. The first one was the state of the church today. The church is broken up into small segments of belief, and each person is arguing their own section or corner of belief against one another without listening to one another, and angrily and defensively, and even to the point where they are hurting one another by using their little segment as a weapon and throwing it at one another. He said the second vision is the church and how it will be when Christ returns and brings the body back together as one, with everybody coming together, standing upon the one rock, forming the one true church. With that, get started with our conversation, and here's your host, Brad McFadden.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. I know that Tim planned on sitting tonight's call out, and I'm sorry if he's not as well prepared as he would be, but you're going to have to participate. We had a
couple
people back out. So I'm excited to have that because I always like to hear Tim's opinion. And me and Larry and me probably disagree on the forum more than any other two people. But yet we also have a huge amount of respect for one another, and we don't argue. We just disagree. I would like to start off with something else Tim has said, and that is that our point here in discussing this denominationalism is not to discuss denominations, none in particular, and not to point out any, real falsities or what we consider heresies in any particular denomination, but just denomination as a entity in itself or as a function. I think it's wise, though, even stating that, to kind of give a little background to what our denominational history is individually. I'll start off by saying that I have always been a member of First Baptist Church of Sulphur Springs since I was able to walk, and that means absolutely nothing to me. It doesn't mean anything. I don't consider myself a Baptist. I just attend a Baptist church. I consider myself a biblicist, which means whatever the Bible says, that's the truth, and even where I don't understand it. And I do have particular doctrines that I follow. Some of them are particular to the Baptist church, like, for instance, the eternal security, or once saved, always saved, I guess is what people like to call it. And I also follow a doctrine called the Key of Three, where I believe that salvation is in three parts, body, soul, and spirit, and justification, sanctification, and glorification. Even though I have these doctrines, I fully understand and believe that they will probably be destroyed in the next few years by a greater understanding of what God's Word actually teaches. So that's the end of my denominational history. You can throw in my wife, who was raised evangelical free, which is a denomination very closely, or it's very close to what to a Baptist denomination, if you're not familiar with it. But she attends, you know, with me to the Baptist church, and I think she would agree with my biblicist views. I think she would agree that she's a biblicist as well. So, there you go. Larry, I know you have a very interesting past. Why don't you go next?
Well, I was raised as a Lutheran, and all the time I was growing up, attended a Lutheran church. And then when I was in college, the closest church that we would attended was a Presbyterian church. And we didn't just, you know, show up on that church on Sunday. I actually studied the Westminster Confession of Faith and kind of learned a little bit of what Presbyterians were about. And then when I got married and got a job and was looking for churches, we stumbled on a Episcopal church. And since my wife was, in as much as she had any religious training, was raised as a Catholic, and I was raised on a Lutheran, as a Lutheran, it just seemed natural for us to become Episcopalians. So I've been a member of the Episcopal Church for half my life. Now, we are in the Episcopal Church in the United States in the middle of a schism, to put not to, just to not mince words. And so I will actually use that as an illustration of denominationalism later on.
Okay.
Right. So right now, I am no longer a member of the Episcopal Church. I am an Anglican. And and I can possibly talk about what that means later on.
Okay. And so that brings us up to date with you. All right, Tim?
Well, I'm glad you guys went first. Now I know what kind of heathens I'm dealing with. No, it's a joke. It's a joke. I guess I was raised in the United Methodist Church. But when I, you know, reached 18 and left home, I kind of left the church for years. And so when I went back, started going back to church, I really didn't really identify specifically with a denomination so much as I just said, I'm Christian. And so I have been a member of Baptist churches. I spent many years in a Lutheran church. And I finally kind of ended up in a non-denominational church. And I guess right now the best way to describe me would probably be, to some extent, charismatic. I believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit being active, and things like that today. So, you know, I don't have any really strong ties to any particular denomination. In fact, my time in the Lutheran church and working on the board and working on the finances and stuff like that really opened my eyes to just how political an organization a church can be. And I really have to say I was kind of disappointed by it. So I kind of, when I found where I am now, I kind of left denominations behind to some extent from that experience. So not that I think that any of the beliefs of any specific church turn me on or turn me off. I've always been a person to say, chew the meat and spit out the bones. That is, take what you feel really does apply and really is biblical and what you can really defend, and then take that and make that part of what you and who you are, and let the rest go. It's not worth fighting about. So that's kind of how I, long story short, ended up where I am today.
Good job. Okay. Well, what I wanted to do is sort of, and we can work, of course, we're probably going to chase rabbits and get off track, but I kind of adopted the good, the bad, and the ugly strategy of this. And I thought we would start off by talking about the good, and we may at the end revisit the good, just because I don't like to end on ugly, you know. But in the good, why are doctrines, when I'm specifically talking about denominational doctrines, or those that are tied to a denomination, why they are good, why they are necessary, and why membership in a church, whether it is a denomination or not, is important. And I guess we'll just keep this going in a circle, and so I'll start off with my two cents. I think that Paul's a good example. I'm sure we'll go back to many times because he sort of talks about denominations in a way. I mean, he's a good example, but he spends a lot of time laying out doctrine through his teachings. I mean, he really spends a lot of time clarifying doctrine that Jesus laid out in the Gospels, but he all of a sudden is applying what Jesus taught and how we use that to get along, how we use that to form churches, how we use that to interact with each other. And I think that that in a sense is that we can, that we're taking our doctrines from the Bible and we're applying this to our lives. I mean, anytime we take Scripture and apply it to our lives, I think that is, in a sense, a doctrine of types. And so to some degree that we can rely on one an interpretation and then come together as a group and sort of cement that and think about it and think it through and test it over years and years and years and look at how our, you know, people who came before us who were very sincere looked at it and made mistakes and thought it through and spend, you know, a quality of time that's involved in that, I think that doctrine can be helpful in sort of laying foundations or laying on top of the foundation of Christ our structure and so we don't have to think through as much as perhaps people before us have thought through things. We can simply read what they read and compare it to what the Bible says as Paul instructs us to do and say, okay, well, that teaching lines up with what the Bible says. Let's move on. And we can then, you know, sort of, as long as they are building our relationship with the Lord, I think that they are good things. And I think membership in a denomination that has doctrines that you mostly agree with or is okay. I mean, I don't think everybody should belong to a non-denominational church. I think that if you don't have some set rules of the church, then even in a non-denominational church, rules tend to pop up because if you don't have those, you seem to be everywhere, and the church will change between pastor and pastor, and so much so that, you know, half the church will leave when a pastor leaves and that kind of thing, and that does happen. So I think it happens more in the non-denominational churches than perhaps in more structured denominational churches. And I think because people can depend on sort of a consistent approach. And that's good for community. It's good for fellowship. It may not be good for some other things, but it is definitely good for fellowship and community and consistency and having our families raised in a church where you know the same people are going to be there and there's a real sense of community accountability, you know, that kind of thing. And people there to help you through and people who are invested in your lives and care and can help you through problems. I think that, you know, those kinds of things are important. Anybody else? Larry, I think you were next on the round table there. Any good things to say about denominations and doctrines?
Well, actually, it's been my observation that denominations persist not because of doctrine, but because of the manner in which worship and religious practice has become customary, and the culture within which that particular denomination carries forward. Now, for example, my brother-in-law is a Lutheran pastor here in Texas. He's got a couple of congregations south of Bryan. And these are people who, you know, were German Lutherans, and they came over and they brought their culture with them, and their families were all Lutherans, and that's just what they did. Most folks who are members of a particular denomination do not think about doctrine. You know, they're taught doctrine, but they think about it as little as possible. And there is more divergence of doctrinal opinion on the average within major denominations than between major denominations. So what I'm saying that there's a point, there's a certain sense in which denominations don't matter as much as we like, as we sometimes think that they do. So why is that good? Well, it's good in the sense that it's very easy for someone who understands how divergent people's opinions are to operate within one's own denominations, or to acknowledge and understand their fellowship with folks outside their denomination. So what I'm saying is that denominationalism, if it does not define your whole Christian identity, it can be helpful for many of the reasons that you said.
Good. Is that all?
That's all.
Okay. Tim, do you have anything to add on the good?
Yeah, I'm not sure I can follow some of those big words Larry used, but in my simple, humble method of communicating, denominationalism has its place. I can understand how it occurred and why people feel like it's good. Denominationalism does two things, and it does them well. It helps redefine your doctrine for you, so that you have both hit this one. You know, in one way or another, you don't really have to think for yourself. It's there. It's laid out. This is what you believe. This is what you think. And for some people, they don't really want to sit there and meditate on the word and be in the Bible every day. I mean, so I find that for some people, it's just comforting to be able to by rote say the Apostles' Creed and sing the doxology and do all these other pieces that define their religion, and they can say it back to you. But I don't necessarily know that they can defend it to the depth that they probably would need to if they ever met anyone who questioned them deeply. But it simplifies their belief system to them. And the second thing is it does draw a group of people together around a common core of beliefs. And to have that fellowship with one another around that gives you, a commonality. And yeah, it does, you do find that people tend to stick to the same thing. Maybe it's because there's a person there, or maybe it's because of the doctrine, or maybe it's because they sing good worship songs. But they get used to being in that group, and that fellowship becomes a part of them, and they do come together, at least within that group. So some of these bodies, as disparate as they might be in beliefs on occasion, all passionately love the Lord, and they all passionately serve one another or work to help one another or lift one another up or come together when there's need and help one another. So that sort of thing is absolutely wonderful. But it's, as we get to some of the other parts, I'm sure we're going to define that it's just too narrow.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and just continue your thought there into the bad. And
Go
ahead.
Well, I guess that's where I was headed with it, and I apologize if I jumped the gun too soon on you, but go ahead.
Go ahead and finish your thought into that.
All right. Well, it has to do with the narrowness. Denominationalism has become as divisive towards the body as it may be drawing together of some of the individuals of it. Kind of like the vision said, we have these little tiny disputes over a theological point or a point of doctrine. We don't have instruments at church because the Bible says this. Well, we don't believe that's what the Bible's saying. So the divisiveness comes from this core set of beliefs that are set out for everybody. And the problem, I think, comes in all of the doctrinal splits, all of the denominational splits that have occurred, I honestly believe are as a result of people's disagreement on people's interpretation of what the word is saying. And I believe that we have spent way too much time defining our beliefs around, you know, maybe one person's opinion who started the church, or maybe a group of people's opinion who started a denomination or something like that. Then we're spending way too much time arguing about those points that man has introduced, and not working hard at going back to the Bible and trying to bring together our beliefs through a spiritual and scriptural reference and frame. We're just beating each other up with opinions, and, you know, sure, I got my own opinions, but if someone tells me, well, I believe this is what this says, I will take it, and I will meditate on it, and I will decide how I believe. And I may even question, I may discuss, I may debate, but I try never, ever to argue. I never want to get rancorous about it, because, you know, for all I know, some of my beliefs are based on my opinion or someone else's opinion who I respected. They were completely wrong, okay? And I hate to admit it, but, yeah, occasionally I'm wrong. So I try not to get too dogmatic about any specific thing beyond what I can point out in the Bible and read as plainly as I can read my newspaper. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's pretty darn simple in the long run, and I believe it, and I stand on it, and I can defend that. Again, I try not to do it with argument and anger and malice, but I feel like I can defend that because I believe it's as clear and plain as anything can be.
Good. I agree. I wanted to touch on in the bad of how a lot of times with denominations and doctrines they get caught up in the salvation aspect, and how some denominations will actually link their particular doctrine to salvation. If you don't believe this, then, you know, if you don't hold this doctrine, then you're not going to see heaven. And some people, even some denominations, even go so far as to say that membership in their particular sect or denomination is required for salvation. And and then there's even denominations that will go further than that and say works, you know, membership, and you have to do these certain works within our denomination, you know, but it all comes down to works. I mean, it all comes down to then us doing actions for our own salvation. And I think that the Bible is very clear that all that is really needed is Christ, that it is a relationship with him that is our salvation, and he is our salvation. So but the thing about it is that it sneaks into our thinking. I mean, it's not always just this denomination announcing that you have to be a member of this one or you're not going to have it. But it sneaks into our thinking. It sneaks into the, you know, I was dunked and I was baptized, and, you know, it just sort of sneaks into that, well, have you been baptized? Instead of saying, do you have a relationship with the Lord, we work in our church speak of saying, have you been baptized, or have you been saved? And somebody who is not a Christian may not understand what that means. But I think anybody can, or most people, a much broader spectrum of people can certainly answer the question, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, I think that you may have to then explain maybe to some who the Lord Jesus Christ maybe is and what he did for us. But initially, it really does go a lot further than just saying, you know, are you saved or are you baptized? And I think that it's in those kinds of ways that the denominations and the doctrines sneak into our salvation doctrine and into our, you know, how we interact with the world then in an evangelical way. And I think that's the bad. Larry, you have the last word on this. What do you think?
Well, I think that that you're absolutely correct. If a denomination is going to say, well, we have the truth, everybody else is in error, we know we're going to have, we're not so sure about the rest of you all, that's bad. And there have been some, you know, I guess I have seen some examples of that, but not very often and not up close. Most folks that I talk to do not belong to narrow denominations like that. Most folks that I talk to belong to what I call the broad sprawling denominations, where there's as much divergence within the denomination as between it and other denominations. But I would also disagree with you that the splits between denomination has to be rancorous. You know, I'm in the middle of a denomination splitting in half, and we pray for the folks that are on the other side every Sunday, because they are our brothers and sisters. They're wrong, but they are our brothers and sisters. We got to the point where we could not, you know, be in the same denomination, if you will. We could not walk together with them because they were incorrect on some fundamental teachings, which I'm not going to go into. So we says, well, you know, we have to be true to the scripture, and we have to walk apart. But we still love them, even though they're wrong. And so that's a situation where, you know, we had to split because we there was such a divergence of point of view, and the point of view actually was in, you know, two modes. I mean, there's just for and against, and there was nothing in the middle. And one of us is wrong. Now, we presume it's the other folks, but one of us is wrong. Now, there's another situation where I guess I may be going to your middle way. There's splits which are just inevitable between, for example, charismatic and non-charismatic. I mean, either the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are from God or they're not, and if you hold that they are and your brother holds that they're not, then the two of you cannot be in the same church. I mean, it cannot be in the same, what we call in the Episcopal Church, parish. They can't be in the same organization. You have to be in a different denomination, because there's just no way, there's no compromise between those two points of view. Now, again, one of y'all is wrong, but we're not going to know until Jesus comes again in glory who is correct. So that's a situation in which it's a lack of our own understanding of the knowledge of God that leads us to a situation where, yes, one of us is wrong, but we can't agree. So we have to walk apart.
Yeah. Good. Okay, do we want to go to the ugly now?
I'd like to just add one thing.
Sure.
This may fall under the ugly, but the differences in religion, even the ones that fall within Christianity, which is what we're talking about here, have led to horrible things. Atrocities against one another that, you know, just you can't hardly comprehend how people can treat each other like this when they both believe so much that's alike, and yet they let these little things really, really drive them apart and cause them to be, you know, terrible. I don't know. I just think this, the splitting can, yes, Larry, I'm sure it can be loving and not rancorous or angry, but I haven't yet to experience that. Going back to a point made by Brad at the beginning of this is, you know, he said non-denominational churches seem to split more. And, yeah, I have to agree. And I've seen a couple of them, and they're bad.
Each non-denominational church is a denomination one.
Yeah, you know,
each non-denominational church is its own denomination.
Well, it's,
okay.
Yeah, in a strict sense of the word, I guess.
I mean, in a sense.
In a sense. I think that, and this is kind of my point of the ugly, is that, you know, I have to bring in what Paul says. You know, he says, don't say that I am of Paul or I am of Paulus. You know, both are carnal. I think that if we say we are of Luther, or if we say we are of the Pope, or if we say we are of, I don't know, whoever else, even if we, you know, if we say we're a Methodist, all those things are carnal. And I think that Scripture, this is just my opinion, but I think that Scripture points to us not saying don't tie yourself too close. It's okay to follow Paul's teachings. It's okay to follow Luther's teachings. It's okay to be a member of a church that Paul started or Luther started or a Lutheran church. But let's not tie ourselves so closely to the Lutheran church that we hate our Catholic brothers and sisters or our
right.
Baptist brothers and sisters. And I think that's Paul's point here in this scripture, 1 Corinthians 3 through 10, basically, but the whole chapter. And, you know, he's trying to say, don't let it cause division within you. Just because you follow Apollos, you're focused on what Apollo was focused on, and I'm focused on what Paul's focused on, does not necessarily mean that you have to go at each other and prove the other one is wrong. And I mean, he doesn't get into that much detail, but I think that's kind of his point.
Well, you and Chaz did a drawing once on a video where you said,
yeah,
here's Christ and here's you, and if, you know, this is the line you want to go from you to Christ, but sometimes we get off that line and we start following, like, maybe Luther or Billy Graham or this person or that person, and notice that we're coming off the line from God and we're starting to follow somebody else. And you're right, you know, denominationalism can occasionally, you know, is driven by people somewhere, and you know, you got to keep your eye on your own relationship with God. Chew the meat and spit out the bones.
Yeah, and I think that's a good. I think that drawing is a good analogy of how denominations are helpful as long as they're pointing you towards God. But when you start to follow the denomination instead of God, that's when I think that they're not helpful anymore. You know, if you start saying I'm a Baptist instead of I'm a Christian, then that's when you start to get, to me personally, that's where it starts to become the ugly. You know, that you're starting to set yourself apart from other Christians, and I think that's not what the Bible tells us to do. Anybody else want to comment on that? We haven't heard from Larry on the ugly.
Well,
you're always the dissenting voice.
I'm sorry. I agree that there can be an incredible amount of ugliness if people think of their denomination as the only way, as the only correct way. But if they think of their denomination more in terms of, well, you know, we are, you know, one of the pieces of the body of Christ, and this is a religious practice that we have that is in a sense optional. Let's say if you fully realize it's not the doctrines that divide you, I mean, that it's the history that divides you. You know, there may have been a doctrinal split, but that was then. I mean, you know, now folks from different denominations can get along just fine. My the head pastor of my church has had wonderful experiences with Eastern Orthodox, with Methodist, with Catholic Church, And when he was ordained, he brought some of those folks from those different churches to participate in that celebration, because he had had such a wonderful experience across denominations that he wanted to celebrate that. He was raised as a Baptist and became an Episcopalian, but he was able to bridge that and retain both of those as valid ways to follow Christ. And that's the thing, is if we can realize that that the reason we have denominations is because we basically don't know the mind of God. We're driven to kind of fill in the blanks. Different folks are going to fill it in different ways, and because you have to have an organization, you have to have a group of people that are working together physically as a group corporately to serve God, and that group is going to require organization. That group is going to require teaching and so forth, and we try to put that together as best we can as we hear God lead us, but people are going to come up with different answers to that, and there's a sense in which that's okay. We can still work together as brothers and sisters.
Very, very true.
And so what I'm saying is that as long as people have that mind, have that humility, then it doesn't have to be ugly.
You didn't really do a very good job of making everything ugly, Larry. I'm very disappointed in you.
I'm sorry. I don't do ugly.
That was very pretty.
I don't do ugly.
Well, and I have to agree with him with both feet, because when we were in Russia our first time, we were with an organization who willingly accepted anybody to come help and do the work in Russia, as long as they believed that Jesus Christ was the Lord. And they said everything else, when you're with us and we're out there in Russia, everything else is second place to Jesus is Lord and we're here to help. That's
okay, I've got an ugly for you. One of the one of my online friends was graduating from college, and she was either a junior or graduating from college, and she wanted to go on a mission trip, but she could not get support from her local church because the group that she was going to affiliate with was too charismatic, and her church believed that the manifestations of the Holy Spirit were not for today, and so they would not support her. Okay, so there's an ugly for you.
Yeah, and I think that we can go maybe a little further into that, and it's, you know, it's great when we see it work the way that Tim's seen it work in Russia, where it, you know, come all and just help. It doesn't matter. And I've seen that in the mission field as well, whether in Mexico or in New Orleans. It's been the same sort of experience, but I've also seen the ugly, where, no, we're not going to support that missionary. We're not giving any money to that missionary because he's not a Baptist missionary. He's a Presbyterian missionary, or he's a whatever.
Right.
And I think that is extremely ugly. If there's a need there and God has told you God has directed you to help in that need there, then you're helping the need there, period. It doesn't matter. And let God work out those details. But if you're not a member of the Baptist Mission Board and you haven't signed the Statement of Faith, then, you know, by golly, you're not going to get any money from us. And I think that's ugly. By the same token, I think that a lot of churches, especially smaller churches, they want to be involved in the community, and so they try to have community activities, and they try to help somebody put a roof on their house, or they try to reach out to the community, and they struggle with that. When there is all of these great community programs already out there, like Boys Club or you know, soup kitchens or whatever, that they could go be a part of as a church and say, we're going to donate our time to this, you know, to this group or this organization or this cause,
uh-huh.
and
and we're going to wear a button that says we belong to this church, or we're not going to do anything. We're just going to share the gospel if we're asked. And yet they won't do that because it's not a church. It wasn't their program. It wasn't their idea. And I think that's a shame. I think that that's ugly, because as Christians, I think that we should reach out, and we should be so reaching out that we should do away with the need for welfare. But okay, I'm getting off. I'm on my soapbox again.
Yes.
I would like to make another comment that you sort of touched on, Larry, and I think this goes to the experience of you, Tim, is do you not think that it's more common today than in the past for people to move between denominations?
My own experience has had me do that. Like I said, over the years when I came back to the church, we were members of a Baptist church. We were members of a Lutheran church for quite some time. We've visited and gone to different, Presbyterian, I mean, you name it. We did some churches for a while, but it wasn't, it was really kind of funny and maybe kind of sad. It wasn't about the doctrines of those churches. It was about the churches. Once we looked at these churches, we wanted to feel welcome. We wanted to hear a message that fed us spiritually. We wanted a church that was involved in its community. We were looking for a certain set of things that the church stood for, not doctrinally so much as, we're Christians and this is how we show the world we're Christians, and we're going to feed you spiritually weekly so that when you come away you have some meat to chew on, but it wasn't about, we believe the virgin birth is absolute, and another one says, we believe that she was a young girl, but we don't necessarily believe she was a virgin, or this, that, or the other. We didn't look at those things. We kind of looked at the church themselves. I think more and more people are looking at the church when they're going to look for churches, and they're basing their decisions on different things. Some are drawn to a church with lots of people, flashy multimedia displays, a popular pastor, someone who speaks well. I mean, I don't know that it's all about content anymore as it is about style, and I would hope that we made our decision as much on content as anything else, but we really looked for certain criteria within those churches, and that we didn't care what denomination they claimed to be.
I think that that's exactly true. I think that most people do not care about doctrine. Most people care about whether they see Jesus Christ in the people in the church.
I agree with you, Larry, as far as I think that's true to an extent, but I think that in the past there has been a greater tie to denominations. I mean, I think that, I mean, my grandmother was that way. She wanted to make sure that it was a Baptist church. I mean, you are going to a Baptist church, right? You're marrying somebody, or they're not a Baptist, are they going to go to a Baptist church? Those kinds of questions, and not just from my grandmother, but from, other people in my church that have gone through this, and then, face parents and grandparents. I mean, you can't date somebody who's not Lutheran. That's just not acceptable. And not her parents, but her grandparents are like that.
Yeah.
But I see today all kinds, and maybe just because it's my experience, but I see all kinds of people moving around Silver Springs from Methodist to non-denominational to Baptist, and just going, sort of crossing the lines and getting these different experiences. And I can't say they're doing it all for the right reasons, but as Tim said, but I do think it is beneficial.
Well, absolutely. Because then being a Christian is not simply cultural.
Right.
If it's part of your cultural tradition to be a Lutheran, are you doing it because that's just what everybody does, or is it because that's where you have a relationship with people who have a relationship with Christ? So the fact that folks are mobile, they're moving around, I think that's a good thing.
Well, I can say that personally I cannot disagree more. And this is not really a denomination, but I can say that I cannot disagree more than I do with Calvinism, for instance. Just as an example, I don't agree with Calvinism as a whole. I mean, I vehemently disagree with it, but I learned, I'm so glad that I got into it, that I investigated it, that I listened to Calvinist preachers and that I investigated their doctrine, because I learned so much about sovereignty and I learned so much about things that they are focused on. I don't want to be a Calvinist. I don't think I am a Calvinist. I don't think they're right, but that's beside the point. I love them, right. And they are focused on things that brought new light to me and new light to my walk. And
right.
I think that, you know, I've learned more from other denominations, you know, or just as much from other denominations as I have from Baptist.
Yep. I would have to agree with that.
Okay. Well, let's have closing thoughts. Anybody? I have a little story, or a little review of Tim's story. Anybody else? Closing thoughts?
Well, I'll start the closing thoughts since I ended the opening thoughts. And that is to say, you know, it's not about denominations in the long run. It really isn't. You know, it's about, and we said it more than once, it's about a relationship with Christ. It's simple. It's a relationship. And your relationship with Christ and the beliefs that you build off, you know, your Bible reading and your walk with the Lord are what you are going to be answering to when you leave this world and enter the next. So it's less important, I believe, to decide which denomination, you know, lines up perfectly with, you know, what's perfect or, you know, what's right, wrong, or otherwise. It's about how you and the Lord come together and what you guys believe in together, because he's the one who's going to ultimately lead you, teach you, and bring you to where he wants you to be. So I just say we as people tend to divide and come together in groups because we're kind of a herd instinct kind of animal. We come together as groups and birds of a feather flock together. It's true. And while that's fine to a certain extent, we have to learn that we're also a body, and we have to learn that the divisions are not what, you know, the divisions aren't really all that important. What's really important is we all love Jesus. Jesus loves us. And someday we can spend an eternity with him and learn the real, true answer to every question and find out then who was right and wrong. But I don't think we're going to care at that point. So, you know, I've had a really good discussion tonight, and I've really enjoyed this a lot. You guys have really said some things that I've, you know, been holding my mouth shut so I didn't yell amen. But I really appreciate it being on this call tonight.
Thank you, Tim. Larry, do you have some closing thoughts?
Well, actually, I would have to say that it's easy. Well, it's not easy. It's easy to think of yourself as you in relationship to God. But what we really need to be thinking about is not only me or you in relation to God, but us as part of the community, which is corporately the body of Christ. Now, currently the body of Christ is divided up into local churches and denominations, but what's really, really, really important is the local church that you belong to and the face-to-face community, and that body, that entity, showing Christ in the way that as the first century Christians were known, see how they love one another. If we as a community, face-to-face, can show that love to each other and to the world, then denominations don't really matter at all. But it is very, very important to build a community that reflects Christ and can do the work of Christ in the world.
Excellent. Very well said. I just have one closing idea, and it goes back to sort of Tim's the vision that he shared of his friend, which I highly suspect was actually Tim. But anyway, it is that it's our frailty and our limited visions as human beings that prevent us from conceiving the infinite wonders of God. It is those frailties that cause us to almost naturally focus on particulars of God. And it is through that focusing that we all have a valid perspective. Now, it doesn't mean everything that we wrap around that is correct, but it is all of us looking at God who are seeing the whole or much bigger way than anyone can individually. And I think that that's that mountain that Tim spoke about in his vision, that it is the mountain of all of our perspectives and how well each different denomination or each different view sees different aspects and different wonders of God. I think that truly the ultimate church, the true body of Christ, is not non-denominational. I think it is multi-denominational. And that is what I love about My Life Ministries, is that we're not non-denominational. We have Baptists, and we have Catholics, and we have Lutherans and Presbyterians, and we have all these different perspectives that come together in love and share their perspectives. And it's through that sharing we see a bigger, more wondrous God than we can ever see on our own. And I'm so thankful for that, and for you two, and for just everybody who shares their opinions. I thank you two for joining me tonight. It's been an excellent call. We should just limit all calls to us three.
No.
That's exactly the opposite.
I mislauded us. She would have added a lot.
Yes. Yeah, and Nick. And you know Nick would throw in a lot.
Oh, gosh, it would have been wonderful to have Nick on the call.
But I hope anybody listening to this will seriously consider joining us next time, as we will give you the same respect that we give each other. And just join in. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Join us next time for Grace Junkies.
There's only one more thing to add. As deep or as complicated as these conversations can get, I would like to remind everyone that the Christian life is as simple as a relationship with the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We Grace Junkies may disagree on individual points, but we love each other. And we hope that you have a relationship with the Lord because He loves you. Thank you for joining us.
I'm not going to say a word here.